from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime.
Just download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Say W-E-E-I is a favorite and listen wherever you go.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier
on W-E-E-I.
What an hour we just had here on Gresh and Fourier. The most recent of the breaking news, Derek White and the Celtics agree to a 4-year near $126 million contract extension. They're going to keep D. White around for the, he's got one more year left on his deal and then a 4-year extension. So 5 more years potentially of Derek White as a Boston Celtic. And, of course, the Bruins started the hour by signing Elias Lindholm. And what's the first name on Zadorov there, Nick?
Nikita.
Nikita. Thank you very much. Not Nikita Koloff. Nikita Zadorov, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently, there could still be some more to come. Let's head over to Warrior Ice Arena, because joining us now is the head of the hockey department here at WEEI, our guy Scott McLaughlin, who today just thought, I'm sure, he was going to go over to Warrior Ice Arena and watch the development camp of the Bruins. And then bingo bango, we've got big time breaking news. Scott, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Good.
We knew it was going to be busy. We knew they were going to be pretty active here to kick off free agency.
But, Scott, to sign the number one player arguably on the free agent board, I made the argument if this were another sport and we were much more familiar with the player, just the average fan, that people would be jumping up and down and praising Don Sweeney. But regardless, he ended up getting two of the biggest targets out there in free agency.
Yeah, he did. And you know, addressed two areas that one that was a clear need, which is the center who can play at or near the top of the lineup. That's Elias Lindholm, who comes not completely without question marks. He did have a bit of a down season production-wise, but bounced back with a strong playoff performance for Vancouver. But, you know, Nikita Zadorov also brings a lot of size and physicality to the blue line, which was another, you know, area that they felt they needed to address. The one question mark now is there enough money left over to also find a scoring wing? If you factor in, you know, potential Jeremy Swayman extension, which, you know, better get done at some point, there's probably going to be about $3 million left over. So that's not getting you to the top of the market for a wing, but can be enough to maybe add, you know, take a chance on someone who's looking to bounce back, maybe a third-line guy with the potential to play up. So yeah, active so far and potentially still a little bit more to come for them.
So, Scott, Jake DeBrusque signing with Vancouver, I think that's official by now. Either it was a rumor, but I'm sure it's going to happen. Since we didn't do big deal, no big deal earlier because of all the news breaking, big deal, no big deal, Jake DeBrusque is gone.
I'm going to lean no big deal. You know, I guess like the one-for-one trade-off, if you're just looking at forward, is DeBrusque out, Lindholm in. Lindholm fills more of a positional need, plays in all situations, so really fits what this team needs more. Now, losing DeBrusque does create an opening on the wing, which I think still needs to be addressed from somewhere. Potentially that could be from within. You know, Pavel Zak is likely going to shift over to the wing now with Lindholm coming in. You know, is this a time for Fabian Lysell, your 2021 first-round pick, to finally make a push? Is he ready to do that? There's a spot there. So, and again, that's still something that could potentially be addressed in free agency, but big deal for Jake DeBrusque. I'm going to say not a huge deal for the Bruins.
Scott McLaughlin of WEEI.com. He is the head of the hockey department here at WEEI. Kind enough to join us from a Warrior Ice Arena where the Bruins development camp was going on. Is there anybody, Scott, that you think is in the organization right now that is a young that might be able to slide in on that second line? Or is there anybody listed as a third liner that might be able to play up? I'm just wondering, how much could the Bruins be thinking of filling that one spot internally, even if it means guys moving up a line?
Yeah, it's a big ask. I would say there's no one who's really an obvious candidate who I would say is definitely ready for that. You know, I mentioned Fabian Lysell. That's a guy you'd love to see come in, you know, in a better spot and make a real push through training camp and preseason and take that job. But is he actually ready for that? You know, very much remains to be seen. That's a big question mark. You look at guys who are maybe more in third line roles. Maybe Trent Frederick leads that group or Morgan Geeky. But again, I think those guys are ideally on like a real true cup contender, third liners, which is where they're slotted in for now. What does the future look like for Matt Podger? Is he ready to move up this year? Right now he's probably penciled in as your third line center, but does he make a push for more than that? We actually just talked to him because he is here at development camp. His season ended with shoulder surgery, but he says he's doing well. He's put on 8 to 9 pounds. He's already recovered to the point of shooting, full range of motion, all that. So they do have some guys who could make a push. But I think to expect one of them to jump into the top six, I still think is a pretty big ask.
Scott, I'm looking at the cap space and the projections and everything, and I see that Marchand is in the final year of his deal. What sort of wiggle room, you know, where is that contract going? Like, he's only making a little over $6 million. Is that number going to go up for Marchand, or with an extension, might the Bruins be able to get some savings there? How do you read the future of Marchand tying into everything that Don Sweeney's doing right now?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I think it's a topic that, you know, both sides know they'll get to at some point. I don't think there's really a rush. You know, Marchand wants to finish his career here. So it's not like he's going to, you know, it's not like anyone's going to get nervous that Marchand only has a year left and doesn't have a new contract. I think they'll play ball with each other and eventually they'll get something done. But what it looks like is going to be really interesting. Does Marchand want one more real payday, or is he already at a point in his career where he'll go year by year and take some discount with some veteran bonuses mixed in and, you know, really save the team some money that way? Like that, because that's what, you know, that's what Zdeno Chara did at the end, is what Patrice Bergeron did at the end. So I guess the question is, you know, does Marchand feel like he's that close to the end, or does he want, you know, 3 years in real guaranteed money?
So we're talking to Scott McLaughlin, who takes up the entire second floor of our hockey department, the whole second floor.
Yep.
You're at Warrior Ice Arena. Your boots on the ground, Scott.
That's Scott and engineers.
Yeah, that's it. Just like literally.
And the engineers have a corner. He's got the whole wing.
The whole wing. Yeah. So the whole.
Plenty of room to play floor hockey.
Yeah, exactly. No wonder you're never down here. You're messing around up there.
So as far as like the to-do list that comes that Don Sweeney had to do, right? Omar gone, top six center gone. I guess the next one would be, to your point, close out a deal, get an extension done, new contract for Swayman, right? Like, and how far away do you think they are from doing that?
Yeah, that is absolutely the number one priority, the rest of the offseason for however long it takes. We all kind of assumed that, okay, if you're trading away Ullmark, then you got to be pretty close with Swayman. But Frank Saravalli from Daily Faceoff did report, I think this was just yesterday, that there hadn't really been much progress made on those talks. And it's at least a little bit concerning. Like, something should get done eventually. I know both sides want to get something done, but you don't want it to drag on too long, and you certainly don't want to end up in a situation where you're even looking at the possibility of going to arbitration again, which is what they went through last year. No one likes that process. It's miserable. Feelings get hurt. Like, you don't want to do that again. So the sooner the better, but it sounds like it might not be a this week thing. Like, it could potentially drag on a little bit longer.
Scott McLaughlin, you can read him at WEEI.com covering the Bruins, at SMcLaughlin9 on the Twitter or the X, I do believe. Scott, thank you, brother. We appreciate it. Believe it or not, we got more breaking news to get to, so we'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks, man. Right, there goes McLaughlin, and here we go.
We interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
So you're paid in championships, are you, Foyer? The money always wins, ladies and gentlemen. And this one is going to feel like a little bit of a gut punch. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Boston Celtics majority ownership group led by Wick Grosbeck is planning to make the franchise available for sale, sources tell ESPN. The investment group purchased the team in 2002, massive development for one of sports most valuable properties.
This,
you know what? It's nice to say we're paid in championships. Then there is the real life. We got to pay what? What? We have to, how much? What? Oh, and remember, go all the way. I know I've been a broken record on this. Go all the way back to Golden State. They had to sell a part of their franchise to pay their tax bill.
But not
that
the team.
That was insane.
Not the team. No, that part, eventually it catches up to you.
No, you're right. You know what they did was those owners diluted their own asset because now those players are leaving and you look at it and say, well, you got yourself kind of a free arena, but still, it's not the heyday of what it was.
No, but I was just thinking about this. So if you, you've already been thinking about selling, right? It's been in your mind for months now, maybe even a year. It's not like you're willing to let it be leaked that you're going to make the team, the Boston Celtics team, available for sale, right?
Okay, hold on, time out. We're just now finding out, but I think the people that are in the running have already known.
Oh, absolutely.
This isn't brand.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Wick did not just wake up and say, yeah, we're going to put a for sale sign on this. Again, it's my whole, why was Theo Epstein brought in? I'm convinced he's looking for somebody to go buy the asset that is the Boston Red Sox and make a ton of money.
Yep.
What Wick paid for this 20 years ago compared to now, I know we love him and I know fans don't want to hear it, but from a pure business standpoint, there is no better time for Wick Grosbeck to sell what is an asset.
And I would also add, yes, there is a massive tax liability associated with this team based on the contract. However, if you want to buy a franchise, you could easily sell this as, look at what I've set up for you. You're set up for the next 10 years. All these guys are under 26. All these contracts are locked up. As soon as I do sell it to you, yes, you're going to have to pay this and that, but eventually you're probably going to get all your money back and then some, and then these guys aren't going anywhere. So you're not offering this to them, hey, listen, this needs a complete teardown. You need to do this, you need to do that. All the pieces are in place. The most important pieces are in place. Brad Stevens is in place. Your players are in place. The stadium is in place. You don't need to do anything but write a big fat check and enjoy the benefits of all the hard work that I put into it. Now, the question is, what is the value of this franchise?
Easily $4.5 billion, if not more. Easily $4.5 billion. Now, it's funny you say that because I pulled this up on the whole Forbes valuation, right? As of June 2024, Forbes estimates the Celtics are worth $4.7 billion, including debt. There's a 1,200% increase from the price paid by Wick Grosbeck and his partners. According to Forbes, and again, this is a little AI overview or whatever, Celtics are the 22nd most profitable sports team, generating an estimated $269 million in operating income over the last three seasons. So that's interesting because that's an over the last three seasons deal. But basically, they generate $269 million in operating income over the last 3 years, $4.7 billion. And if it turns into a bidding war, you might be able to get that up to maybe $5 billion.
When it comes to franchises, American franchises, now all sports included, the crown jewels, the top five American sports franchises would be Dallas, the Lakers, probably the Patriots over the past 23 years. The Boston Celtics are in that group, are they not?
Well, they've all gone up because of, anybody that bought a team.
But as far as bragging rights, hey, man, I own the Celtics. I own the Lakers. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, you got to remember, too, that some soccer teams would get thrown in there.
American franchises only.
I have it here, the world's most valuable sports teams.
Okay.
Cowboys at $9 billion. Yankees at $7.1 billion.
One.
The Golden State Warriors at $7 billion.
Really?
So the people who bought 5% of that team a bunch of years ago have experienced tremendous growth already.
They got all their money back.
It says the Patriots are $7
billion. Yep.
The Rams are $6.9 billion. Giants, $6.8 billion. And then Bears, Raiders, Knicks, Jets. And then you get to Real Madrid.
A lot of football teams.
Worth $6.1 billion. And then the Commanders, and then Man U. And then the 49ers and the Lakers are in at $5.9 billion.
Okay, so were they the first basketball team in there?
They were not. It was the Warriors.
The Warriors
first.
That's right. Okay.
And then the Knicks at 6.1. So I did kind of skip. The Knicks were at 6.1 in there. So the Lakers were third.
Wow, the Celtics weren't even. How old is this?
This would be March 12, 2024.
Wow.
Yeah, but still, if the Celtics are $1 billion behind the Lakers, that's still $4.9 billion.
No, it's
a little more than the evaluation that's out there.
I mean, that's my point. Like, when you're buying, like, an institution like the Celtics and all the history and all the, and all the championships that go with it, I mean, it's got to be like, this has got to be a hard one to kind of give up. But when you're looking at because I would think that most of these guys are so kind of emotionally attached to the team, right? It's like a family business. It's a long term. My sons are going to do it. Their sons are going to do it. Like, football teams tend to stay in the family. Like, it's a family run business, and they never give it up. This one, on the other hand, man, like, what a return on investment.
Well, not
maybe
only
the headache. Maybe you don't want to deal with the headache anymore.
Well, there's the looming tax bill. There's the new television contract that's coming because
it's supposed to be pretty significant, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what you use to be able to jack the valuation up of the asset you're selling. There is also the hawk that they have on the Auerbach Center. You can go back to 2017 where it says the NB, the New Balance Development Group, secured $76.35 million construction and permanent financing loan for the Auerbach Center. So there's got to be their hawk on that would get thrown in as well. But I mean,
wow.
I do not want to lose Wick Grosbeck as an owner, But
you're going to lose with Grossbeck as an owner.
There's no
bet. Don't announce it. Let it be leaked out. If you already, to your point, don't already have somebody interested in it. Because how embarrassing would it be? You put that for sale sign up and it lasts for like 2 years.
Hey, here's the other thing, too. Whit Grosbeck and John Henry, their runs in this city are kind of similar in terms of length. We praise Whit Grosbeck. We vilify John Henry. And Henry's technically won more.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And I would say, we kind of about all the money that each guy has spent, I bet you Henry spent more.
There might be. We'll continue with this. Your thoughts, folks. We've got Derek White re-signed. We've got the Bruins signings. And according to Woj, Wick is looking to sell.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, so now we're getting into the dueling reports here, Fourier. 127 Gresh and Fourier here with you. Make sure you are following along on the Odyssey app and downloading the podcast. Billy Lanny works hard on that. Make sure to go to WEEI.com, subscribe to the Gresh and Fourier podcast, wherever you get your pods. And if you haven't, go to YouTube, where you can watch this show live. Check out the Hawk Tua video that is gone viral. Check that out on YouTube, where you go to Gresh and Fourier. Actually, if you just type in Gresh and Fourier Hawk Tua video, it'll pop right up for you and make it nice and easy. So, Fourier, here is the way Adrian Wojnarowski wrote the tweet that he sent out, okay? Breaking, the Boston Celtics majority ownership group led by Wick Grosbeck is planning to make the franchise available for sale, sources tell ESPN. Adam Himmelsbach of The Globe tweeted out a couple minutes ago, according to a league source, Celtics majority owner Wick Grosbeck is looking to sell his stake in the team, as Woj reported. But this potential sale is not expected to include the entire investment group that purchased the team in 2002. But Woj says the Celtics majority ownership group led by Wick Grosbeck, I know his father was involved in that. I don't know if that would include Pags, well, Bobby Epstein. Wick was always kind of the controlling interest from the way we've been led to believe.
Yeah, good point. So if I thought that Pags was actually had a his own little piece of the pie.
No, they do. But what I'm saying is they're still all under that Boston Basketball Partners LLC.
So he wants out. He wants to sell his shares and be done with basketball.
Wick
does.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Boston Basketball Partners LLC. I just pulled it up on, so they have a Wikipedia for whatever okay. it's worth. Okay. The executive committee consists of the four members of the managing board, which is Wick Grosbeck, H. Irving Grosbeck, Steve Pagliuca, and the Abbey Group, which is represented by Bobby Epstein, with the additions of Paul Edgerly, Glenn Hudgens, and James Pallotta. Other new key additions include Matt Levin, managing director of Bain Capital Partners. So, if it's going to stay in-house, and to your point, there are the Grosbecks, Pagliuca, and the Abbey Group, and we know that Steve Pagliuca has been connected to, you know, he is Bain Capital in so many ways, and they've set it up for venture capital companies to be able to invest in these franchises. Could we end up seeing more of a private equity investment through, say, Pagliuca, Bobby Epstein, all those guys, to be able to kind of keep it in-house? Or do they look at it and go, if Wick's pulling the cord,
I know.
I think I should too.
Well, okay, so it's interesting because all this is orchestrated right now. Everything that is happening today is orchestrated.
You end up getting the good news out there
yep.
about the extension for D. White, which is also Wick Grosbeck being like, hey, new owner, I just committed $126 million of your future money. Thank you very much.
I know, but as far as the orchestration goes, if, say, Pagliuca was involved also, they would have added Wick and Pags. I think they would have specified that both sides, because Wick wouldn't do this without some of the other partners or managing members knowing that he was going to do this.
Well,
he just surprised
no,
them.
No, no. And in fact, this is a pure guess, okay? But a lot of these are written to where some of the minority owners would end up having the first crack at it if someone goes to sell. Because I know, like, for, you know, a lot of private companies, let's say, right? Whenever there is a change in ownership, if you're at an executive, if you're at a high level executive level, if you're like a VP or something like that, normally whenever there is like a change in ownership, sometimes there is a repurposing of contracts, and anybody that had skin in the game, so to speak, they would get a payout and then restructured under the new owners. Now, I know that's for like people that are high level executives, but I got to think that if Wick is going to sell, he might be bound to asking the others first if they want to purchase it before he kind of takes it
right
out of house.
First refusal type
Something
of
like
thing.
That, I would think so. And if you're Pagliuca, who's a smart guy and has venture capital money behind him, if they really wanted to go down that road, Pags is too smart of a businessman to not have that ability, even though he's listed as one of the main guys in the group.
Yeah, and the other thing is obviously all these guys get along, so any person to take over his shares, I guess, would have commanding control of the franchise.
No question.
Right?
But it also means you're on the hook for what's coming. And see, that's the thing, is that it'll really tell us whether, I think, it'll really tell us about the profitability of where this franchise is going if the incumbents say, you know what, we'll find the couple billion dollars, whatever it would be, to be able to buy Wick and his dad's chunk, in theory. At least that's the way I would look at it. But then there is the, we know what's coming. We know what the numbers are going to look like. We know how much this tax bill is really going to be. I don't know if I want to be a part of that. There is that realization. And again, I go back to the Warriors ownership group had to flip 5% of the franchise for them to be able to keep their run going. And now they're losing Thompson. Curry's getting older. That franchise worth $7 billion in value. But I think it sure as hell helps selling a franchise when they're on the up versus on the down.
So I want to give you this so you can start, because there is the whole John Henry.
The Fenway Sports Group has been knocking on the NBA door for a while.
Well, I mean, didn't they try to buy the Bruins from the Jacobs at one point in time.
I'm not so sure about that. I know that they're in line for whatever is coming in Las Vegas in terms of
so
a potential expansion
team. They're first in line with LeBron James and...
You know, I guess in terms of the Fenway Sports Group maybe being live in this and maybe trying to make a bid, like I'm just trying to think from a business standpoint, you know, they operate in Pittsburgh, but like a lot of the, so now like the regional sports network that they've got down in Pittsburgh is like Aaron Charlie Moore and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of consolidation of assets, or consolidation of expenses, maybe I should say, within the assets. So does the Fenway Sports Group look at it and say, boy, we'd operate two in the city. Now, I'm sure John Henry would look at, I pay what to Jeremy Jacobs every game, huh? Can I put a dome on Fenway and play there?
Yeah, like, I know. You know, multi-purpose arena. Yeah,
like there is
You're
that,
dying for it.
There is that. Part of it where if there's one thing that Wick Grosbeck and should be lauded for spending the way he has while not owning his own building, he's still a renter there. Like, it's crazy to think the owner of the Celtics has to pay the owner of the Bruins to use the building for him to then turn around and still spend the money and put together a championship team and all that. Man, this is...
Oh, look at this. They have this little statement all ready to go. What a surprise. Orchestrate it for immediate release. You got it?
Yeah, I got it right here. Let's see here. The Boston. So from the Celtics, Boston Basketball Partners LLC announced plan to sell the Celtics. Here is the full statement, folks. Boston Basketball Partners LLC, the ownership group of the Boston Celtics, announced today its intention to sell all the shares of the team.
Different than what we were just talking about.
I guess
about.
Himmelsbach got burned.
There it is.
The controlling family of the ownership group. Oh, no, wait a minute now. Hang on. Maybe it isn't. The controlling family of the ownership group, after considerable thought and internal discussion, has decided to sell the team for estate and family planning considerations. That really is a big deal. The managing board of the ownership group expects to sell a majority interest in 2024 or early 2025. With the balance closing in 2028, and expects Wick Grosbeck to remain as the governor of the team until the second closing in 2028. So they already got somebody on the hook. In just reading this, for them to have a general idea of timelines and things like that. So.
And Wick staying on till 2028?
Well, you know what that's, you know what that, well, first of all, that's just, I would call that a loose guideline. That might be something.
Well, Mark Cuban is still with the Dallas Mavericks.
That's what I was just going to get to, is that Mark Cuban was the owner. He flipped it to old lady Adelson out of the casino world, and yet he still sort of retained a kind of front office relationship, not only with the Mavericks, but I do believe Mark Cuban is still kind of like the guy who goes to the owners' meetings and is the liaison with the league and stuff like that for the Mavericks. So you start to get into all that Fruity Whip headache. What is interesting about this statement was, I'm going to pull this up again just to make sure that that I get this right. Announced today its intention to sell all shares of the team, the controlling family of the ownership group. After considerable thought and internal discussions, decided to sell the team for estate and family planning purposes. So that would be the controlling family of the ownership group would be the Grosbecks.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of Fugazi language in here.
There's a lot to kind of sift through because, like, what are they? How are they protecting themselves with the language they're choosing?
Well, they might. And again, this is just off the top of the head. But it does sound like that Wick and Irving Grosbeck want out. But does that necessarily mean that Paliuka looks at it and says, well, sell my share too? And Bobby Epstein, same thing. Do they look at it and say, I want out as well?
Sounds like Pags is staying because they. If you're gonna release a statement on what we what Woj just kind of released.
Yeah, yeah.
You would make sure to add, and you in the language would be, not the largest family group. It would be and Pags and Bain Capital.
Well, yeah, like it isn't Boston Basketball Partners LLC. They said it was the controlling family, yeah, which would be the Grosbecks. However, again, Pags ain't stupid. If he sees the kind of money that is coming down the pike, then why wouldn't he take it? And here's the other thing, too. If you're Steve Pagliuca, you've been in this game now for, 22 years? You have a couple of championships. How does a guy like Pagliuca view his portion of that Celtics asset? Does he want to own something that is really controlled by someone else that he may not have a relationship with like he did with Grosbeck?
Well, you say controlled by. I am curious to see how, when you have these outside investors, right, the biggest mistake these billionaire guys usually make is that they think owning a sports franchise is the same as like selling widgets or whatever it is they got rich off selling. They try to, the owner of the Panthers, we use him as an example all the time, the Carolina Panthers.
David Tepper.
Tepper. He's the biggest knob when it comes to, you know, running a football team.
Right. But he's got $20 billion in net worth. So he's not an idiot.
Yeah, but he keeps making the same mistakes with coaches, GMs, and just like, you know, and organizational messes that he has. If you're an outside investor and you just have a bunch of money, listen, I got a lot of money. I got a lot of money, but I don't know how to run a franchise. I'm going to keep you on board to run. You're my CEO. You're my CEO. Bain Capital says, okay, where you gonna, if you're going to keep Wick, I can work with Wick. I can't work with you. I don't know outside money. I don't know where you, Dubai, some international money. I have no idea where it's coming from.
Hell, and Billy, you'd love this. If Vince McMahon wanted to, he could call Wick Grosbeck and say, I got $2 billion in cash. I'll give it to you right now. Cash laying around.
If it's $2 billion, it's not enough.
Could write him a check. And then, I mean, but seriously, but that's the kind of thing. How many people are out there who have the kind of money where you're like, eh, I don't want to do business with you, but they got the dough to be able to do it. Again, I joke about Vince McMahon, but again, he cashed out $2.6 billion in stock recently. I know he's got some messes to clean up in the personal life or whatever, but those are the kind of people that we're talking about. Who are those independent sort of billionaires that are like, oh, I'd like to buy this thing? And then if you're the other owners, you're like, oh, who could we be bringing in here? So this could, there's someone in the Twitch chat who's saying that if the minority owners don't buy it, they'll be forced to sell. I'm not so sure about that. They structured that Boston Basketball Partners LLC so that, yeah, they were all the group. There's probably a right of first refusal in there, but I'm sure there isn't a we're going to force you to sell your shares, so therefore you're selling the whole thing. I'm not sure that it would trigger it that way. But nevertheless, I mean, it's a pretty big deal. We knew the money at some point was going to matter. We maybe just didn't have this on the bingo card as to Wick Grosbeck looking at it and saying, you know what? Might be the right time. I do also wonder how, I do believe it's H. Irving Grosbeck. That's Wick's dad, I do believe. He's on the masthead on this as well. And when you say for family and estate planning purposes, it does make me kind of want to ask an icky question as to kind of like, what is the state of the dad at this point?
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Like, it's
why
sensitive.
Why is it so important why for us now? To do this?
And it feels like when you say for estate and planning purposes that maybe Wick's dad might not be in a position to own it very long, if you know what I mean. I'm trying to dance around and say what I'm trying to say, but yeah, I think everybody knows what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There might be a mortality issue to where it would also say, hey, man, we've had a hell of a run, Dad. We won two. Maybe we get another one. I'm going to hang around for a little bit, but maybe money-wise we can get out of this thing. Wow, what a day.
Wow, what a crazy 2 hours.
And you know what? And we said to Billy, we're like, yeah, we're back to the normal Are You Done where Billy's got to pick a story. I don't even know if we can do that. I feel like we haven't hit everything today. I do know Jones and Mego have Razor coming up at 2:30. Yeah. To talk about everything Bruins, and of course, they'll be on the latest news that has broke today on apparently Wick Grosbeck and family are looking to sell their piece of the Celtics. Will there be more being flipped? How many of you are going to get in line? Anyone? Anybody listens to this show and buy that team? Anybody? Anyone? Somebody said Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
She could do it. and then give it over to Travis and let him run it?
Travis run, that'd be the best ever.
No, that would be something.
Just be like, yeah, my husband knows sports.
That's right.
And then the little baby Travis.
So I spent $3 billion and bought him a team.
Yeah.
Look how much I'm in love with him.
I got to keep him busy. He's up to no good.
Oh, all right. Are You Done? Brings it home on a crazy Monday next.
Gresh and Fourier.
On WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Now, it's time for...
Are you done? Are you done?
Are you done?
Are you done? You done, right? You done, right? Are you done? Are you done?
On Gresh and Fourier.
Boy, what a day. We have had just a couple of minutes here before we hand it off to Jones and Mego with Arcand. Holy hell. So, the Bruins make two signings, the Celtics make a signing, and the Celtics put a for sale sign on the team.
That happened so quickly. Hey, great news. We re-signed, gave Derek White an extension. And, oh, by the way, we're selling the team. It's not even a Friday news time. I like the fact that they give it you fresh on a Monday, right? Fresh start the week. Short week, though. But it's not like going to throw this out there on a Friday. Give you time to talk about it. Someone's going to end up got to get their wick, right?
Well, I do wonder if this thing is kind of down the road a little bit. That now it's announced, the team acknowledged it. Like, this wasn't one of those, you know, me trying to put two and two together on, oh, Theo's back. He's the VC guy. I wonder what they're up to over there. Now, here's the other thing, too. If Theo Epstein came into the Fenway Sports Group, and if my theory is wrong, that Theo has access to all those VC people, knows where they are, could find somebody to buy the Red Sox. I wonder if maybe there's a little bit of the, we bring in this guy because maybe the Fenway Sports Group is interested in the Celtics. And then maybe the word, like to your point, in the Billionaires Club, word might have gotten out a little early. And then maybe somebody did kick the tires.
If the Fenway Sports Group
bought the Celtics,
has a desire to buy... Like to be in the NBA business, right? They want that that Las Vegas franchise, a new Vegas franchise that supposedly that's where they're going to put one, right?
Yep.
Man, wouldn't it be just more convenient? Hey, listen, I'll come see the Sox or I'll go drive up the road and go see the Celtics.
No, there is. And then there's also the whole advertising part of it where you can sell both franchises together and things. There would be advantages to it.
It's kind of a monopoly on just like, you know, marketing shares too, as far as like, hey, listen, if you do this for us, you got to do it for this.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, they could bully.
Control everything.
Yeah, there's no team like has been in Foxborough for years bullying people around on the back.
No.
Did I say that out loud?
No. They're not swinging as big of a club as they used to.
No, when the silos went down, the advertising end of it took the hit too. Anyway.
It's like, I'll call your bluff on this one.
Oh, my God.
That's been good. So the Celtics have a new owner. Wouldn't you say that they already have an owner?
Wouldn't you think that they already have?
It's a very, very small like target you're trying to hit, is it not? I mean, you're talking, it's not even a billionaire's club. I feel like it's a trillionaire's club, like the amount of money that it costs. So Wick put $200 million of his own money. 360 total.
360
right?
total.
Yep. Over 20 people were involved in the purchasing, which was a record at the time.
But if he popped up 200 mil of that 360, let's say, then I would think, like, does Wick's dad have his own separate piece? And Lord knows he had plenty of money if he wanted to. Or was that the Grossbeck family piece? You had 200 million of the 360 that went in. You're the controlling owner, and now you're set up to get $2 billion, $2.5 billion, something like that.
Well, maybe he wants to spend more time on his tequila. He does have that tequila brand he's got with Jordan.
Yeah, there is that. Maybe he's going to go into NASCAR with Jordan. Why not? The Fenway Sports Group did it. It's not like they're, you know, there's money there to be made, which is why they're involved, but... Man, what a day.
Yeah. Welcome back. This Monday re-entry wasn't bad at all.
No, I'm glad I'm glad you're back tomorrow. You're out on Wednesday.
One more day.
I'm out on Thursday, Friday. So unfocused foyer tomorrow. We can guarantee
that'll be a blast.
Yeah, poor Nick. You guys have been yelling at each other by 10:30.
That rarely happens.
Oh, man. By the way, Billy and Chicken Nick produced it on the radio. We'll get back to the traditional Are You Done tomorrow. Chicken Nick and Billy produced it on the radio side. Terp produced it on the video side. So if something went wrong, blame all of them. A very happening Jones and Mego with Arcan coming up next with lots to talk about. Foyer and I will see you bright and early tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Thank you for listening.
Gresh and Fourier
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Now it's time for
Are You Done? Are you done?
On Gresh and Fourier.
Boy, what a day. We have had just a couple of minutes here before we hand it off to Jones and Mego with Arcand. Holy hell. So the Bruins make two signings, the Celtics make a signing, and the Celtics put a for sale sign on the team.
That happened so quickly. Hey, great news. We re-signed, gave Derek White an extension. And oh, by the way, we're selling the team. It's not even a Friday news thumb. I like the fact that they give it to you fresh on a Monday, right? Fresh start the week. Short week, though, but it's not like I'm going to throw this out there on a Friday, give you time to talk about it. Someone's going to end up got to get the wick, right?
Well, I do wonder if this thing is kind of down the road a little bit, that now it's announced, the team acknowledged it. Like, this wasn't one of those, you know, me trying to put two and two together on, oh, Theo's back. He's the VC guy. I wonder what they're up to over there. Now, here's the other thing, too. If Theo Epstein came into the Fenway Sports Group, and if my theory is wrong, that Theo has access to all those VC people, knows where they are, could find somebody to buy the Red Sox, I wonder if maybe there's a little bit of the, we bring in this guy because maybe the Fenway Sports Group is interested in the Celtics. And then maybe the word, like to your point, in the Billionaires Club, word might have gotten out a little early. And then maybe somebody did kick the tires.
If the Fenway Sports Group
has
a desire to buy, like to be in the NBA business, right? They want that that Las Vegas franchise, a new Vegas franchise that supposedly that's where they're going to put one, right?
Yep.
Man, wouldn't it be just more convenient? Hey, listen, I'll come see the Sox or I'll go drive up the road and go see the Celtics.
No, there is. And then there's also the whole advertising part of it where you can sell both franchises together and things. There would be advantages to it.
It's kind of a monopoly on just like, you know, marketing shares too, as far as like, hey, listen, if you do this for us, you got to do it for this.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, they could bully.
Control everything.
Yeah, there's no team like has been in Foxborough for years bullying people around on the back.
No.
Did I say that out loud?
Nope. They're not swinging as big of a club as they used to.
No, when the silos went down, the advertising end of it took the hit too. Anyway.
It's like, I'll call your bluff on this one.
Oh, my God.
That's been good. So the Celtics have a new owner. Wouldn't you say that they already have an owner?
Wouldn't you think that they already have?
It's a very, very small like target you're trying to hit, is it not? I mean, you're talking, it's not even a billionaire's club. I feel like it's a trillionaire's club, like the amount of money that it costs. So Wick put $200 million of his own money. 360 total.
360
right?
total. Yep.
Over 20 people were involved in the purchasing, which was a record at the time
for
the Celtics.
But if he popped up 200 mil of that 360, let's say, then I would think, like, does Wick's dad have his own separate piece? And Lord knows he had plenty of money if he wanted to. Or was that the Grossbeck family piece? You had 200 million of the 360 that went in. You're the controlling owner, and now you're set up to get $2 billion, $2.5 billion, something like that.
Well, maybe he wants to spend more time on his tequila. He does have that that tequila brand he's got with Jordan.
Yeah, there is that. Maybe he's going to go into NASCAR with Jordan. Why not? The Fenway Sports Group did it. It's not like there's money there to be made, which is why they're involved. But
Man, what a day.
Yeah. Welcome back. This Monday re-entry wasn't bad at all.
No, I'm glad
pretty easy.
I'm glad you're back tomorrow. You're out on Wednesday.
One more day.
I'm out on Thursday, Friday. So unfocused foyer tomorrow. We can guarantee
that.
Oh,
that'll be a blast.
Yeah, poor Nick. You guys will be yelling at each other by 10:30.
That rarely happens.
Oh, man. By the way, Billy and Chicken Nick produced it on the radio. We'll get back to the traditional Are You Done tomorrow. Chicken Nick and Billy produced it on the radio side. Turp produced it on the video side. So if something went wrong, blame all them. A very happening Jones and Mega with Arcan coming up next with lots to talk about. Foyer and I will see you bright and early tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Thank you for listening.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.